Its current state on 90.5 WKAR, I'm Mark Bayshore. Michigan State University opened the Abrams Planetarium 50 years ago. That's five decades of giving kids and adults from all over the state a glimpse of the solar system and the universe. As you might expect, the equipment for doing that has improved a lot in those 50 years, and current state Scott Pohl is here with a look at the latest gear installed at the planetarium. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Mark. You know, there aren't many places I'd guess that most of our listeners have been to at least once in their lives, but I'd put the Abrams Planetarium on that list. I know you've been there, I've been there. It's been a while. Right? You've been there.
I was there not that long ago and had a great time.
It's fun. You know, maybe we went there with a school group when we were kids, or we've taken our children or grandchildren there. It's been a place of entertainment, education, and inspiration. But if it's been a while since you've been there, you should make a point of taking in a show sometime soon, because the show has gotten even better. That's because of a new projector that has been installed recently. The other new thing at the Abrams Planetarium this year is that there's a new director over there. I talked with Shannon Schmoll about several subjects, including her personal interest in astronomy, encouraging girls to study the sciences, and why they needed that new projector at Abrams Planetarium.
So the old projector was a state-of-the-art digital projector of 1994. So it was able to digitally project things, which allowed us to do things like fly through star fields and look at some models and line models of galaxies and so on. But it was somewhat limited. It wasn't in color. Everything looked green. And the technology that it used to do that included vacuum tubes, which are really hard to come by these days. And so in order to maintain the system, it was becoming more and more of a burden to find everything. So we really needed to upgrade in order to just maintain our shows and keep going as an institution.
What couldn't the old system do that you can do now?
So the new system is in full color, and so we can, if I show you Mars, for instance, up in the sky, it looks a little red in our new system where it didn't before. And it actually will look a little red outside in the real sky. Similarly, there are stars that look blue and orange. And so we are able to show a more accurate recreation of the night sky. But we can also do things like have full color representations of all the planets. And we can fly there. We can fly out to nebulae and orbit around them. We have volumetric data for the galaxy, so we can fly through the galaxy and around it and see what it would look like. We can fly out more or less to the edge of the observable universe and back, again, in full color, and it's a really more immersive experience than we've had before.
You gave me a demonstration, and I found it really interesting how you were able to take a request, so to speak. You asked me what my favorite planet was, and for no particular reason, I blurted out Jupiter, and we flew to Jupiter, and you showed me around Jupiter, and Jupiter rotated on the screen above my head. It's really got amazing capabilities. I really encourage people who haven't been to Abrams Planetarium in a while to come to one of the upcoming shows and check out the new projector and what it's capable of.
Yeah, we hope so too. We definitely welcome more people coming to see us and the new shows. And that's something that we've always been very happy about, is that we always have live components to our shows where there's someone there talking to you about the night sky. So you can ask questions and you can say what you want to go visit. And that offers some flexibility. And that's something that we want to maintain and continue, and we hope to continue. So definitely come on down and let us know what your favorite planet is.
Well, one of the shows that you have on a rotating basis, a regular basis, is designed for children, and it includes some Sesame Street characters and so on. I'm always a little leery of having people think that's all you do here, though, that there are programs that aren't just designed for the kids. And so if you have an interest in coming sometime, just check out the schedule online and find the show that's right for you.
So definitely check out our schedule. We have our feature show, which is Fridays and Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 4. And that right now is a show called Hello Universe, where it's an hour-long live star talk where we just take you on a tour of things that are out there. And that's really geared more towards adults and older children, and it's a lot more informative. Whereas we do have a family feature, which is geared more toward for younger kids, and it has, as you said, One World, One Sky, Big Bird's Adventure. You join Big Bird and Elmo and their friend, Huhuju from China, and learn about the night sky. And so we try to make sure that we have something there for people of all ages, different backgrounds, different levels. And then we also have our school group shows, which we have a much larger library for school groups. And so we have things that are more culturally based. We have some things that are more on the night sky, focused more on the moon. And we're trying to align those with the standards now to make those even better for students and teachers and more useful for them.
I want to talk about the education component because I know you have your own personal interest in education. That's part of what you went to school for. Tell me a little bit about your own background and what you're hoping to do in terms of teaching, using Abrams Planetarium as a place of teaching, not just a place to go have a fun time looking at the stars.
So this new system really allows us to offer some fantastic visualization for some things that are really tricky. Astronomy is a very interesting science because from our perspective, the space looks a lot different than if we're actually above the Earth or out there. And so we are able to offer that visualization. And so putting more of that into our shows is going to be great. And we'll also be able to, we're going to be aligning things, like I said, with the standards so that we are having things that are very clearly tied to curriculum on astronomy in the schools. And so we're hoping to offer more of that as well.
And you're also hoping to work with teachers on that curriculum, right?
Yes. So one thing I'm hoping to get started here in the next year or so is a teacher advisory group. And so we are trying to find teachers who are very interested in astronomy and astronomy education who will be willing to help us and guide us in figuring out what would be most useful for them. And we are certainly open to suggestions and anyone who's interested. And we're also, well, we have an email list now for educators to sign up for to know what we're doing and what we're changing.
The sky calendar that you put out every month is really useful to people who live in this part of the state because it gives you an idea of what's out on what day of the month and where to look for it in the sky.
Yeah, so we do continue to do our sky calendar. It's very popular. We actually have people across the world who use it. As long as you're you can see the night sky, this is actually useful. It's useful for more than just Michigan. But it's a calendar that sort of takes a normal looking calendar and blocks it out in terms of what's going to be most interesting in that time of the month and where to look in the sky. And then we also have a sky map on the back. And it's something that we've been doing for many, many years that we're very proud of. And we'll continue to offer that.
I want to get back to the education component for a moment because lots of school kids come through here, and we've heard so much in recent years about the need to encourage girls to go into science and technology, STEM education. I'm sure you share that view, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity to reflect on how Abrams can help foster that kind of an atmosphere with schoolgirls.
I do think it's very important to encourage women to go into science. I think women have a lot of great ideas, and it's really a matter of, I don't think it's that hard to get girls interested in science. I think children in general are very curious and interested. It's a matter of keeping them motivated and letting them know that this is something that you can do. It's something that everybody can do. Everyone can do science. And so our role is hopefully encouraging them and sort of sparking that interest and that excitement, be it in astronomy or science in general. And I've been working in Planetaria for many years now, and so many times when I go in there and I turn off the lights and the stars come up, you just hear, ooh, ah, it's that moment of, wow, this is really cool and really beautiful. And I'm hoping that that will continue to spark interest, and I'm hoping that that is supportive of women, and I'm hoping that I can act as a role model for women in science. That's something that I love doing, science, and I love talking about science, and hopefully seeing someone in that role will help encourage girls to continue on in science. So it's a matter of making women more visible, and I think it's a matter of encouraging girls, saying this is something that you can do, and if you're interested in it, pursue it. Definitely do it. And I think that's true in general. I think we need to do that with all kids as well, of a diverse background. And so
something sparked that in you too and kept it going, as opposed to being a one-time only thing that maybe faded with some time. Tell me a little bit about your own development as a scientist and getting into the world of education.
It was a very weird path to get here. I actually started out when I was a young kid. I wanted to be a teacher. I admired all of my teachers in school. I loved learning. I liked helping teach others. And then I realized in high school I had an open fourth period. I'm like, I'll just take physics. That's a thing that's there. And I loved it. I fell in love with it immediately. I loved the math. I loved how the laws worked. I thought the way that the universe worked within these laws was just amazing. And my physics teacher was actually a woman, and so I think that helped encourage me. And I just loved it and decided that the coolest stuff in physics was out in space, so I went to school to become an astronomer. And that was the plan. And then as I got into grad school to become an astronomer, I realized about partway through that what I really, really enjoyed doing was teaching. I really liked watching people's faces light up when they understood something, or wowing them with some interesting thing about the universe, and sort of helping spark that interest, especially in little kids who are interested in science. And I just really enjoyed that. And so I was able to change gears in grad school, luckily. I went to the University of Michigan, and they had a program where you could create your own degree, essentially. So I ended up doing a dual PhD in astronomy and education. They had a museum studies program, so it let me learn more about informal learning in general as well. And so I was able to sort of create something that let me go into this realm of planetarium education where I was really, really interested. And so it was kind of a twisty path, but I kind of came back to what I wanted to be when I was in first grade. I was a teacher, but now it's specifically a science educator. So,
well, maybe Abrams Planetarium will be that for the child of one of our listeners someday soon.
I sure hope so.
Shannon Schmoll is the director of Abrams Planetarium at MSU. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.